Well, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 2, where we read, and we've chosen to look at Jeremiah by way of a taster, really, and at the theme of water in Jeremiah. We've looked at different passages about water, and we come to one in verse 13, where we're going to focus this morning. So Jeremiah chapter 2, and at verse 13, where God says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Well, every Sunday I come and proclaim to you that God is a spring of living water. What we offer to you in the gospel, what we offer to you through Jesus Christ, what we offer to you through faith in God and a relationship with Him, is nothing less than to drink from a spring of living water forever. And the people of Jeremiah's nation, the nation of Judah, were a greatly privileged people, because as a nation they were at that spring. They had been led up out of Egypt, delivered from slavery there, and God had settled them in the promised land. He was their God. And any time they were thirsty, their thirst could be slaked through their relationship with God. But they walked away. They walked away from the spring of living water. Well, they could always go back, couldn't they? But they didn't. They didn't just walk away. Instead, they tried to provide for themselves another source of water, what is called in verse 13, a cistern. Now, we have to attempt to purge from our minds what the word cistern means in our culture, because this has got absolutely nothing to do with that. A cistern is something you would not see in this country in the terms that it means here. A cistern is something you would see in the dry countries of the Middle East, where the rain comes at very distinct times in the year, and at other times there is no rain for months and months. And so it becomes very important to provide a source of water that will not fail in the dry season. And where springs are lacking, or reliable rivers are lacking, people would dig out of the rock a deep hole, and they would line that deep hole with plaster, and then when the rainy season was on, they would make it their business to fill this deep hole plaster line with water, so that when the rains had passed and the dry season came, they would be able to draw water from this cistern to keep them alive and to water their crops or whatever. You can see an example of cisterns, there's many mentions of them in the Old Testament particularly, but you can see an example in chapter 38 in verse 7, when Jeremiah, because of his prophecies against the nation's idolatry, is thrown into a cistern. And he falls in, it's not got any water in it, it's just muddy, and he sinks down into the mud. Because many times cisterns let people down. For one reason, they were sometimes cracked. If the plaster cracked, then the water would seep away. And you would go to it just when you really needed the water, and there was no water to be had. And that could spell disaster for people. And that is how God describes the idolatry of the nation of Judah. That they have left God, the spring of living water, where there is real life to be found, and they have turned to dig out their own religion, and it's like a broken cistern. It fails when you need it most. It fails you. And so Judah here can only blame themselves if they are thirsty. They could have been drinking from the spring, but instead, as verse 11 says, they have exchanged their glory, that's a beautiful description of God, their glory, for worthless idols. Or again, as chapter 17 of Jeremiah says, verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those that turn away from you will be written in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. Well, it was the great church father Augustine who said to God, he said, You, Lord, have made us for yourself. And our hearts are restless until they find rest in you. That is where satisfaction is to be found. And elsewhere, we can't get no satisfaction. If we're looking for ultimate satisfaction, it's only to be found with God himself, with the real God, the one who exists, the living and true God. And if we try to find the satisfaction that a relationship with God alone can give in material things, we're just going to be disappointed. It's going to be like a long walk into the desert. And if we don't retrace our steps from that long walk into the desert, we will, as chapter 17 says, be written in the dust. We've probably all tried it though. We've probably all tried to find satisfaction in things that we can achieve or obtain in this world. Pleasures. Things that money can buy, or just getting money itself. Our achievements, accolades, prizes, promotions, status. We've tried it. It's a well-trodden track into the desert. Nothing wrong with any of these things, but if we're looking to them for ultimate satisfaction, we'll not find it. We're just taking a long walk into the desert along a track that is worn into the dust, strewn on either side with the bones of travelers. With the skulls and the dry bones of travelers who have tried the same thing, who've just thought to themselves, if I just keep going here, then I'll find satisfaction. The oasis I seek, maybe it's just over the next dune. If I can just buy that thing, if I can just get my own house, if I can just get a better job, and people are striving and longing for satisfaction in the world. Nothing wrong with getting a better job, but don't look to it to supply what only God can supply. The world is full of mirages in the desert. People say, if I can just get to there, I can see there's water there. If I can just be a little bit better, just do a little bit more, just achieve a little bit more, just have a little bit more. If I just buy that thing, it'll make me feel really good and I'll feel better for the rest of my life. No, you won't. It's a mirage. And yet people keep going. They walk deeper and deeper into the unforgiving, merciless heart of the desert of this world's promises. And pride keeps them going. Well, I've gone this far. I've set myself on this path. I'm going to find satisfaction in this world. I'm going to find it somewhere. I've set my heart on what money can buy. Set my heart on things and stuff. And it's just not to be found. And there's no excuse for it. Because there is a spring of living water in this world. That spring is not something that's being advertised on the telly. It's not something that people are stressing and striving for in this world. It's God himself. He, as verse 13 says, is the spring of living water. And Judah has forsaken him. It's not that they've forsaken religion. There's plenty of that in Judah. It's not that they've stopped going to the temple. See, the spring is not for us today going to church. That's not the spring. The spring of living water is not being religious. The spring of living water is God himself. They have forsaken me, God says. I'm the spring of living water. And so God issues a challenge to you and to me, and it can be put in the words of chapter 30 and verse 21, which really challenged me when I read them a couple of weeks ago as I've been reading through Jeremiah myself. Who is he who will devote himself to be close to me, God says? Who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? Because that is the devotion that satisfies. It's in being close to God that we will find that well of life that never fails. See, the spring is not like the cistern. The spring water flows from the aquifer, from deep below the ground, where dry season or wet season, there is pure, clear, clean, safe water. The spring is a perpetual source because it draws from deep within the earth. The spring water is always fit to drink. The aquifer can often be brackish, and not the aquifer, but the cistern can often be brackish. The water that's put into the cistern takes on the bitter taste of the plaster, becomes full of algae and bacteria, little wriggly creatures. Yuck. But the spring is life. God is life. Everything else will fail us. Things that promise so much. We're constantly being fed this. Money, status, entertainment, pleasure. That's what we need. People say, you know, I know that having lots of money doesn't make you happy, but I'd really like to have the chance to try. No, it's a broken sister. People buying their tickets, their scratch cards, hoping for a win. Disaster could be the worst thing that happened. It's a broken cistern. It's not water that's fit to drink. If you're setting your heart and finding satisfaction on having lots, the marketplace of life is just going to disappoint you. The cisterns of this world are full of broken promises, not the water of life. God is the living water. That's what we proclaim. That's what we have to hold on to, and that's what we have to keep before us all the time and try and bring before our community. Because all the time people are missing it. People who are brought up in our community being told that God was the spring of living water just constantly walk past the spring into the desert. Why would you do that? They say, well, I'm not going to try and drink from that spring. I'm going to go and try and find my own spring. I'm going to go and try and hew out my own cistern to hold water. And they go off into the desert and they go looking for that elusive oasis. They get duped and fooled by endless mirages. When all the time they know deep down the broken cisterns are going to fail, and all the time the spring of living water is there for them. This is a sin. In fact, it's two sins, is verse 13. Two sins. The sin of forsaking the spring is a sin. The sin of trying to substitute with something you provide for yourself is another sin. It's a great sin. And if we want to know the life-giving water from God, if we want to drink from the spring of living water, we need His forgiveness. We need to pray for that. Forsake the broken cisterns and come back to the spring of living water. We thank God that He is willing to allow us to do that. Like the Thessalonians, Paul went to, he says, you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. God allows us to do that. We thank God He does. We thank God that when we've proven the truth of His word by trying to satisfy our souls in the cisterns of this world, and we have failed to do so, that He is willing, even though He told us way back then that it would be a waste of time us trying, He's willing in His patience to allow us to go and try and then to turn back to Him. And even Christians, sometimes we lose sight of this, and we ourselves seek to satisfy our souls, satisfy ourselves in the broken cisterns. Instead of when we sense our need going to God to satisfy it, we'll go and try some retail therapy. We'll go onto social media to see if there's something juicy there. Or we'll turn to our own achievements, what we can accomplish. And actually, it's in God that we'll find what we're looking for. Do you believe that? Do you believe what Jeremiah says in chapter 17 of his prophecy in verse 7? He says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by the water. We just sung that image, haven't we, in Psalm 1. A tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Do you believe that? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He'll be like a tree planted by a stream. When you come to God, you're coming to the living water. But God does something very wonderful and very special, His word tells us. It's not that we come to God and He gives us that living water, and then we have to come again. Instead, actually, God comes to us when we come to Him, and He comes into us. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, He said, let him come to Me and drink, He says. Whoever believes in Me, He says, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. What's Jesus say? He's saying that when we come to Him, when we come to God, God doesn't just satisfy, but He puts the source of the satisfaction within us. Out of our innermost being, streams of living water. God comes Himself. God, who is the spring of living water, comes Himself to live within us. This is the wonderful glory of the gospel. God becomes the source of life within us. That's why Jesus could say to the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, everyone who drinks this well water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In him, says Jesus. This is the glory of what it means to know God. The life that God gives to us, it's not out there somewhere. We have to go and find it. The life God gives to us is within us. It's God's Spirit within us. Where else can you get that? You just cannot get that. This living water, this eternal life, a spring of water welling up to eternal life, Jesus says. It never, ever ends. I was asking the children in Kyle this morning, what does eternal mean? And they scratch their heads a bit. And there was a wee bit of consultation with one of the kids with the adults, I think, and then she said, it means forever. It means forever. The life of God is a life forever. When we have that life in us, it's ours forever. And not only does it satisfy, but it cleanses. Because there's a sin here, the sin of forsaking the spring of living water, which everyone commits and needs to repent of, needs to turn to God from. And we need to turn to God from the broken cisterns of this world. And we've committed sin and it defiles us and we're guilty. But the spring of living water washes away the guilt and the defilement and the uncleanness. It's that spring, that fountain that Zechariah spoke of. Zechariah 13 said, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. It's that fountain that is the life and the cleansing that Jesus gives to cleanse us from sin and impurity. So if you come to God today through Jesus Christ, you're coming to a fountain, a spring of living water, which is able to cleanse and forgive and give life forever. We can be clean today. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us within. Forever. Book of Revelation, as it draws to a close in chapter 21, verse 6, lets us hear some words from God's throne, from God himself. He says, to him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Where is that spring this morning? Is it within you? Well, it is within you if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, it's beside you. And when you're quite done with this world's promises and you've seen through them and you realize that you just are not going to get the satisfaction that you seek anywhere other than in God himself, he is there. And he is saying to you, to use the words of Isaiah 55, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. He is there inviting you. He is there commanding you to come. And if you haven't listened up till now, then confess your disobedience and come to the waters, because the God who made us knows what we need. Our lives exist because he exists. He is the source of all life that there is. But the life that he would give to us is not just biological. It's not just so that our cells can function. He would give us life that is fellowship with him, that is sharing in his life, his divine eternal life forevermore. So God says to us, come, come and drink. When you're parched, when this world has let you down and you've seen through its emptiness, come and drink. Let's come and drink from Jesus. Let's come and drink from the fountain. And let's point others to the fountain too, to the spring of living water that will never let us down. Amen.